B-Pod Studios.
Nap. Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just to reiterate, a travel ban from Canada into the United States is ludicrous. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And then second of all, I don't know why a horse race has to be shortened due to some pandemic.
That's a great question. What's the explanation, John, for that?
I think it's been explained to me that it's for training purposes, and I'm still confused by that answer.
Are they saying that the schedule of events is shortened, but the race is the same, obviously?
No, the race is usually the race is a mile and a half. And they've shortened it to a mile and an eighth. That's why winning the Triple Crown is so hard, because the Preakness and the Kentucky Derby are one length and the Belmont is much longer for a horse to run. But since it's the first event and there haven't been any warm-up events to train the horse to run an extra distance, is difficult. That's why they shortened it. That's how it was explained to me.
Well, John, if I'm in Kentucky, I mean, I don't know how I can get a horse around the track. It's very difficult.
Fred, I'm no stallionaire, so I'm not quite. I don't know how this all works with horses.
Well, Rich, I've loved Chance's Thuggish Ways for a long time.
Who doesn't love his Thuggish Ways?
I love Chance's Thuggish Ways.
And I mean, I was even more into Real, but I think he was too real for the people. But the idea that Canada, that Trudeau, and Trudeau apparently is everyone's favorite because he's very handsome. But the idea that Trudeau's saying, like, you can't—I don't, and I don't mean to be the expert here, but Windsor, Ontario, is about a mile from Detroit. I don't understand how that mile. Now, Windsor is considered by a lot of people the worst place in the world, but I don't understand, and that's next to Detroit, which is, you know, no glorious place. But I don't understand how that they would have a travel ban in that you're pretending that so Winnipeg to like South Dakota or wherever the hell it is, that's such a long distance. I mean, it's an imaginary line. It's not like I'm coming from Africa where there's, you know, exotic diseases or something like that. I'm coming from Canada.
Well, some people seem to have problems with borders in this country, so I guess that's, maybe they're enjoying it up there. They're getting a laugh out of it, saying, oh, really? Well, yeah, we'll just make sure that you can't come into our country now.
Well, if I'm Canada and I want to win an election, I don't think I'm getting rid of hockey.
That might change everything. You're right about that. So speaking of that, not only for, of course, baseball, and baseball's trying to get started right away, and this travel ban is been extended to June 21st. So there's a chance that it might not affect hockey, obviously, as baseball would be, because baseball, they want opening day to be around the 4th of July. But the one thing that you can say is that this is going to be an interesting thing that they've got here. Let me see if I've got, who is it here? I think I've got... Is this Darren Drager? No. I thought I had one of the NHL guys talking about how this is more than likely not going to be an issue. Hockey-wise, it's not going to be an issue. It sounds like they've got a timetable, and of course, as you said, there's no way if any official wants to be elected again that they would do anything to prevent the start back up of the NHL season.
I'm not kidding. I mean, that's tantamount to just going, I don't want to get reelected.
Yeah.
I mean, here's our national pastime, and I refuse to have it happen. Yes, you're screwed.
Okay, so Fred, I saw this story, and I wanted to make sure that you got this, because I knew you would truly enjoy this. The Jordan documentary, we would talk about it, it's been excellent. The one thing that's been kind of funny when you see this is the relationship that some of the media has with some of the players. And in particular, I didn't realize this, but back in the day, Ahmad Rashad was the man. Like, oh, yeah. Like that dude
was
just...
I was reading up on this. It's amazing. We all kind of figured this when he was doing his a weekly NBA show that broadcasted Saturday afternoons that no one watched. So I didn't realize how close he was to Jordan until this documentary where you see Jordan driving into the Chicago Bulls facility to begin the playoffs, and Ahmad's riding shotgun with him. It's amazing.
When you proposed to Felicia Rashad on the air, I would imagine that much credibility to have Mrs. Cosby herself be part of your family. I would imagine that would be carry a lot of weight. And by the way, was there anyone more hard-hitting than Ahmad Rashad?
Right. I mean, exactly. I mean, you're not obviously getting anything major out of Ahmad Rashad, although some of the scenes, there was one scene in this past weekend where Ahmad Rashad's like sitting with Michael Jordan and Jordan's like favorite security guys and a couple other people from the team. And Ahmad Rashad's like giving like this Mr. Miyagi Zen advice to Michael
Jordan. It was before game 7 against Indiana, and Ahmad goes, "Some can, some can't."
Yeah,
that's it.
Jordan's like, yeah, that's it, man. Some can. I mean, I'm sitting there like, this is like, I never knew that this dude was the man. But Fred, you know who wasn't the man? That would
well,
be
I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows Tom. Yep. Oprah knows Tom. My wife.
Mm-hmm.
We're all friends. So why not have a dinner? So that's what that was.
That would be Mr. Jim Gray, our best friend, friend of the show. And Fred, I know a guy that you are just BFFs. So there was an interview that Ahmad Rashad did recently about all this. And somebody said, you not only had a strong connection to Jordan, but the Bulls in general with strong access to their locker room. What was that like? And Ahmad Rashad answers, one time we were playing in Utah. And Jim Gray came into the training room.
We were playing in Utah. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I misread that. They were playing in Utah.
Okay, they were playing in Utah. Okay.
Yeah, one time they were playing in Utah, and Jim Gray came in the training room. And Phil Jackson walked in and kicked him out. Jackson said, hey, no meeting in here. You got to get out of here. And Jim Gray, of course, looked over at me and said, what about Ramad? And Phil Jackson, without missing a beat, said, Ahmad's family, your media, get the F out in front of the whole team. So guess, I'm going to give you one guess what Jim Gray did. What did he do?
Went and told Jerry Krause or went and...
Go higher.
Getting warm.
Went and talked to the head of the NBA or...
Yes! Jim Gray went back and told David Stern. This is Ahmad Rashad. Jim, because what did he do? What did he do when he had a problem with us? He called the head of like Westwood One and tried to get us fired. I mean,
he tried to get us fired. He tried to get us fired for me being rude to him.
First of all, what a dick move. First of all, Jim Gray goes, you know, gets kicked out. He goes, what about Ramad? Like, if I'm going down, everyone's going down. So Jim Gray, this is Ahmad finishing. Jim Gray went back and told David Stern, and David called me. He goes, just imagine this in David Stern's voice. Oh, God, he complained. He complained.
There were the bodies to bury.
Right. He goes, maybe if you go in there again. This is David Stern saying this. Maybe if you go in there again, sneak in another door. I don't want to tell you that you're not supposed to be in there. But David Stern goes, he just complained and complained. And he said, but it had been like 5 years. I've been going wherever I wanted to go in there in the first place. And then the first time I ever heard anything about it was because of Jim Gray.
Rashad saying it.
Yes, that's Rashad saying that. Yeah. So, I mean, what? Okay. He's been a weasel since day one.
He is a piece of crap. and the idea that, okay, first of all, if I'm looking at the situation correctly, I realize that Ahmad Rashad is just, he doesn't do it. It's like who's the comedian that has the show? That it's he's just like on the circuit. Oh God!
Jay Leno?
No. He's a black guy. What's his name?
Wayne Brady?
No, Wayne Brady's actually talented. No, this guy's like worth like $10 billion because he just goes to the junkets and acts like it's his. Ask Norm Macdonald. Talk to Norm Macdonald about it. But anyway, so. So you go, okay, Ahmad Rashad obviously is a lightweight. He's not doing anything that's ultimately going to be controversial. And then you can't handle it because he's in there and you're not. I mean, he's a tattletaling dummy.
Yep.
Who doesn't have – I mean, he goes to David Stern and tells on him.
By the way,
imagine going to high school with that guy? Oh, my God. What a piece of garbage.
And you know that's really his first call. He started at the top. Like, he didn't call, like, the head of media for the Bulls. He didn't call, like, even as you said, Jerry Krause, the GM at the time. He went straight to the commissioner to try to get Ahmad Rashad's it wasn't even to get Jim Gray in there. It was to get Ahmad Rashad's credentials revoked. That I guarantee you it was more that.
Can you imagine, like, not having the facilities in your brain to realize that Ahmad Rashad was not a threat to anything that you're doing? Ahmad Rashad was first and foremost a friend of these players. He didn't do anything. I hate him. I hate Jim Gray.
I just saw this story, and like as it was going, it was like something that. If you would have told me, hey, what happened in this situation? Finish the story. Like, you remember when you were a kid and they would have those things like, finish the story. It would have been exactly that. It would have been, what did he do? Well, he complained to the number one person at the top of the chain, and he was like, wah, wah. And then I love David Stern, that David Stern called him out, and so I was like, oh, this guy just came in and just couldn't stop complaining. How many people did he call after our interview, which he was in the wrong, of course, and tried to, like, get us fired?
I mean, he called Westwood One, who's a massive syndicator. He called our boss at the Times, brother, who was in charge of something big. I don't even know what it was. And, yeah, he tried to get us fired. He tried to get me fired. And by the way, he didn't even know what show we were.
I know.
He thought we were the WEEI show. So this idiot's running around not even knowing what he's talking about. Ahmad Rashad. So worried about Ahmad Rashad. Ahmad Rashad, real hard hitting.
No, it was that he was there.
Yes, but you have to realize why he's there. It's because he's there because he doesn't do anything.
We should call and complain to Roger Goodell that Jim Gray has access to Tom Brady that we don't have.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, he gets to do an interview on the radio. It's very exciting for him. But then, you know, if you question him on the interview, he gets very uptight.
Well, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
Stedman knows Tom.
Stedman does know
Oprah
Tom.
Oprah knows my wife.
Yep, they know
we're
everyone.
All friends.
No, you're
so
not.
Why not have a dinner? So that's
let's
what that
take
was.
A look at Jim Gray's wife, by the way. See how let's see what's going on there. I would like to. It's never occurred to me to look at that. Hey, I'll look at it during the break, and I'll give my opinion.
Jeez.
After the break. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Tough is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Unless they're from the same household, has to bring their own tennis balls so that you don't touch other people's tennis balls with your hands. You can kick their balls, but you can't touch them. I'm going to blush, sorry. Of course, if you're... If you're playing with someone in your household, you can touch those tennis balls. To avoid confusion between whose balls are whose, you can use a marker, like a Sharpie, to mark out to put an X or put someone's initials on them.
Now, 98.5 The Sports. By the way, if you Google Jim Gray, he's not the first guy that comes up. The Sports. It's an artist named Jim Gray.
And, oh, really?
Yep. And then people ask, what happened to Jim Gray? How old is Jim Gray? Is Jim Gray artist still alive? So there you go. Jim Gray, UDA member, remember what Wikipedia, I'm reading what happened. Known as Jim Gray, was a Northern Irish loyalist, and according to an interview with the Sunday World with his ex-wife, Anne Tedford, to whom youthful Gray married for four years. So Jim Gray, really with an imprint on society.
But you know what's funny? I just typed in Jim Gray in Google, and you know how like it fills in the search?
Yeah.
So I typed in Jim Gray, and you know what the very first thing underneath it is?
The interview?
Jim Gray, Toucher, and Rich. And, yeah. And then right below it. Right below it is Jim Gray, Tom Brady. So Jim Gray, Toucher, and Rich is ahead of Jim Gray, Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, I put Jim Gray's wife, and it's Fran. But then it very quickly – and then I went to Wikipedia, and it said the worst sports interviews of all time. And he was number
five. Is it
the
Pete Rose one? Is that the one that they're giving him credit for being the worst?
I would imagine, yeah.
See, I thought it was ours. And then I would say it was the best. If they did ours, I would be like, you know, how dare you? I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, he's a real good guy. Seems to have a lot of respect.
He's
big career going right now. He's doing a lot. It's funny because when they list his accomplishments, they all seem to be about 20 years ago. So congratulations to Jim Gray.
By the way, we have at 8:20, Bruce Cassidy is going to be on the show, which is going to be – there's a lot to talk about, obviously, because over the last week, we've gotten a lot more of a – you know, as I said, the NHL has essentially been floating in the wind and changing their mind. And, you know, it sounds like this week there has actually been real movement. And I know with all the states opening up, although Canada's not open, you know, we've been talking about how this is the time to put dates on calendars. And, you know, Bruce has been very open about what he prefers, how he wants his players to, you know, condition during all of this. It's weird, man. And I just don't I gotta wonder what it's like to be somebody in his position where your entire team's looking to you to give them answers and you're just as in the dark as everyone because the NHL has just been dealing that way over the past couple of months. And the plans they've been throwing out there too have been really weird because they made sense at first and now they're making less sense. And that is because they started off with being like two different bubbles that the teams would be playing in. Travel-wise, that made sense. The less travel, obviously, the less chance that somebody would get infected. And now they're just saying, we're going all over the place. We're going to be in eight different hubs. We're going to have 24 teams involved. And I'm just like, why did you regress? Like, what did you do to backtrack on all this in what seemed like a fairly solid plan? And, you know, Bruce has been very open on his opinion. He hasn't, you know, always been 100% pro what the NHL is planning on doing. So it's going to be good to have him on. He's always a good interview anyway. So
yeah, I think that a lot of people are just – I mean, you if you listen to national broadcasters, there's a sentiment that we're never going to know. Like, it's never going to be a certainty when you can go back. So, you know, if you go back, it's never going to be better. So there is a sentiment, at least nationally, with some of these national people, that if you go back now, there's really no difference.
Well, people are looking at this as a window that we've got right now.
Right, like, but like between the fall, yeah.
Yeah, so Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is a fairly conservative school in many ways.
Well, it's very Catholic, yes.
They are. And they have already made an announcement that classes are going to be back. Like, students are going to be on campus, but they're going to start things early, like in August. I think August 20th is when they're going to open up the fall semester. And they're going to end early. They're going to end at Thanksgiving. Like, Thanksgiving break is going to be the end of the semester. And the reason that they're doing that is that they've obviously looked at studies and science, and they've thought that if this thing is going to blow back up, it's going to blow up during flu season. And they believe that right about Thanksgiving is when that would start back up. So, you know, just taking a look at, you know, the window that these people have, I mean, this could all, because the flu season could start earlier. You know, you are running on a limited amount of time to get this done. And that's why, once again, I just think you start with the playoffs. Darren Dreger was talking about this yesterday and about the new 24-team playoff format, and he said that it's got a strange message to some of the players.
Well, it's an important issue. There's no doubt about that. The NHL knows this. So does the NHL Players Association. Perhaps more contentious if you're an NHL general manager and you're a general manager on a better club. You wouldn't want equal footing across the 24-team format. So part of what has been a daunting task with the Return to Play Committee, the PA, and the NHL is trying to determine appropriate value from where a club was sitting in regular season play and then transferring that into the field of 24. You know, if you look at what some of the matchups might look like, Montreal, a non-playoff team by regular season standards, faces the Pittsburgh Penguins, a pretty good team in the Eastern Conference. Should they be at an equal position starting the play-in of the 24-team format? Or Edmonton or Chicago, for that matter. So, James, I'll tell you, there's been a ton of discussion on this. As I said, an important issue. And before they sign off on a return-to-play scenario, this is going to have to be resolved.
Yeah, crap happens. Start the postseason with the standings as is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
I mean, I don't understand why you would have to go 24 teams. I mean, I assume because you want a market like Montreal invested in it, but it completely delegitimizes the regular season. So I you can't do that in good conscience. I mean, you can't take a team that dominated the regular season and put them on similar footing as someone who's struggled. I mean, that's just common sense. And I understand that it's a real bummer that Montreal is, you know, not involved in it, but they don't deserve to be. And, I mean, it just it makes no sense. Other than you should just go, all right, well, we need Montreal to play. But it makes no sense. They shouldn't play Pittsburgh. The Bruins should have the easiest route possible.
They've earned it,
and they don't deserve to have themselves tested against a crap team because it delegitimizes everything that they did during the regular season.
You know, if it wasn't for Toronto having one more point than the Islanders, then you wouldn't have had to worry in the Eastern Conference about any of that whole Canada border deal because it's all like American teams.
Right.
Because Montreal's, I think, in they're 12th in the standings.
Yeah.
You know, Ottawa's way out of it. But in the Western Conference, I mean, you've got that's a big deal. Yeah, I mean, you got Edmonton.
By the way, that means the playoffs are a lot different than we originally thought. That's just straight conferences. That's not playing out of your division.
Sure.
That's
yeah.
5 no, versus right. 12, 6 versus 11 with the top 4 teams getting byes, and there's no best of 3 to determine the top seed in each division. This is, let's just give the top 4 teams with the top 4 records in the conference byes and then play it out from there. So I kind of like this because then the Bruins won't have to bang heads with the Lightning for 3 games before they get started.
Right. So, yeah, I mean as long as you reward teams that had, you know, played well, I don't think it's crazy. I mean, that's all you have to do is just reward the teams that played well. And then it solves all your problems. And maybe Trudeau will let people cross the imaginary border that is that takes us to Canada. One of the most exotic countries exotic countries in the world.
Don't you be knocking Canada. Don't knock Canada.
Not knocking Canada. I'm saying it's a very exotic place to be. There's, who knows what can go on up there. I mean, full contact strip clubs. I mean, there's a lot going on. No question about it.
But this could be the best sports August ever. I mean, everything's lining up, I mean, it's not going to obviously make up for the weirdness in the world, but I mean, dude, TV is going to rule. Like, there's going to be the NBA, the NHL playoffs, and you're going to have, you know, baseball, whatever. But, I mean, going at the same time in August, which never, I mean, it's really, truly going to be a time when it's a dirge in sports, when all you have is regular season baseball, and we might get this one little gift. Just as long as these people, as long as everyone doesn't blow it, just don't blow it. And the NHL just seems primed to blow it right now. Like, and the NBA, well, actually, baseball more than anybody.
Baseball, I was just going to say, you have that
baseball,
wrong.
Baseball, yeah. The sport that can at least least handle it, yes, they are they'll blow it. I mean,
now you're confident they're going to blow it.
Yeah. They are. Oh, yeah. That's all the signs are pointing in that direction.
Fred, I'm telling you, and I said this yesterday, and that is the second the NBA puts a date on the calendar and they start practicing, baseball has no excuse. And the pressure's going to be on. Someone's going to cave. Do you know how awful it would be for baseball if the NHL and the NBA were playing and baseball just couldn't get their crap together? It's not going to happen. It's going to that is going to be the rod that gets stuck underneath them. The moment one of these leagues goes, all right, date's on the calendar. Here we go. We're getting it done. Why can't you get your crap together?
Right, I would imagine. All right, coming up, I've heard these terms before. I don't know really what they mean.
Okay, we discussed this the other day, Fred, and there's something that's becoming very prevalent when it comes to people who are dealing with this post-pandemic world. It is the emergence and the surgence, I should say, because they've been there, and they've been hiding, but they're worse than ever, of the Karens. The Karens and the Chads.
Yeah, I've heard those terms. I'm not exactly sure what they are, but we shall find out. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tre Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, Fred, much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tucker and Rich. And Rich, I've heard of these names being tossed around. I'm not positive what the meaning of them is. But what are we talking about?
Well, the reason I'm aware of the name and how they're branded is because I've been seeing stuff about this like on the internet a little bit, but I didn't quite know what it was until I talked about it on the air the other day. And some of our listeners said, oh, yeah, that's what's called a Karen. And I guess Karens are something that they've always been there, and they've always been something that has just kind of been simmering. But the pandemic has just blown them. It's like, you know what it was? It was like pouring water on the gremlin. And all of a sudden, the pandemic, you fed it after midnight, and now it's just gone insane. So what a Karen is by definition is someone, it's usually a woman between the ages of about 30 and 50, who, in this case, demands nothing but excellence, even in the middle of a pandemic. Everything has to be done perfectly to her desires, and if not, she will lose her crap on you. Now, I guess there's a male equivalent called a Chad, but I always thought a Chad was something else. I just thought Chad was kind of like, you know, they were known as like an entitled, you know, kind of douche, you know, who had like dad's money or something like that. But this is not the male equivalent of a Karen. A Karen is something, it seems to be something on its own. And a lot of our listeners have been dealing with this. Like a lot of the people who have been out and about during all of this, the people who work at restaurants, the people who have worked, you know, at grocery stores, hardware stores, are apparently seeing a surge in this as well. And if you have, 617-779-0985. And Fred, the story I was talking about that got people to identify that this is indeed what I saw is I went to the grocery store this past weekend, and I the grocery store here, it's like a mom and pop place, but if you call ahead, you can give them your order, and they give you a time in which you can come, and they'll do like curbside pickup. So I was set to do curbside pickup, and I pulled up. Now, this past weekend was the first weekend they were allowing people back into this mom and pop grocery store, but there were obviously some sort of rules, and it's not that big of a place. So when I pulled up, I got out of the car, and I was looking at the front of the store waiting for my groceries to come out for the curbside delivery, and I see this man and this woman go walking up towards the store, and at the very front, there's a woman outside who has this cart set up that's full of masks and hand sanitizer. And she goes, "Hi, because of the COVID-19, we are you have to come in with a mask, and unfortunately, we're only allowed to have one person in per group at a time." And this woman was not having it. She goes, "Excuse me?" She goes, "Yeah, you're not allowed to. We just have to do one person at a time." She goes, "I will be going in this store." Like, almost immediately. Like, everything, "I will be coming in this store." And the woman goes, "Okay, well, you can come in, but he'll have to stay." And she goes, "No, we're both going in this store." And meanwhile, the guy is like, "We're not doing this, are we? Are we really going to do this here?" And she starts yelling.
You're saying he's no Chad.
No, he's no Chad. He's more of a, "I just want to get this over with."
You're saying that she is a Karen. He is no Chad.
Oh, no, 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 no. And she starts yelling at this poor woman. And, like, once again, I know why they're doing what they're doing. And this woman is going insane on this guy. So here is, I mean, and it's become, like, and there's actually even, like, websites now that are dedicated to these Karens because it's just gotten so unbelievably bad. Let's get to a guy working at a grocery store called Gilson's, okay? Gilson's is apparently in California, and this area is, from what I'm being told, the Brookline of Southern California. Here is a woman who has shown up at the grocery store. There is a big list of rules. Everyone knows now that, you know, if you are a company and, you know, more than anything, you want to protect your employees, and they had a rule there, much like the grocery store I was at, that you have to wear a mask. Let's go to the tape.
I do humbly apologize, but Gelson specifically is not allowing any customer or employee inside the store without a mask or some sort of guide.
Okay, so I need to talk to a manager because...
I will absolutely humbly go get a manager for you if you'd like to hang out with me for
awesome.
Just a moment. If not, we can provide you with one.
I'm not wearing a mask.
Okay, understood.
Perfect.
Just a moment and I'll
go ahead. Go ahead.
By the way, stop. The reason we have this video is because she's filming it. Is right. Because she pulls it out because she wants the world to know how much of a victim she is.
Right, which is always the sign of a great person.
It always works well for the person, too. Sure.
Well, no, I mean, you know, like someone could be dying on the street and they will put, they'll start their camera to go viral. But so what does she want? She wants a mask?
She doesn't want a mask. So this is like a small grocery store, and she's trying to go in, and there's a guy at the front being very nice to her and goes, "Hi, you know, we have masks here. If you would like to come in, you just have to wear a mask." And she goes, "I'm not wearing a mask." So here comes the manager, and the manager comes out and says this to her.
"I'm not wearing a mask."
Okay, understood.
Perfect.
Just a moment, and I'll
read it. Go ahead.
By the way, if they're playing "Rock With You" off the Wall album, doesn't that somehow soothe the savage beast?
I agree. You would think. You know.
I mean, you would think if you're playing something off the Wall, mm-hmm. not as controversial as Thriller, you would at some point relax. But nonetheless, all right, here we go.
Hi, I have a medical condition that I'm not allowed to wear a mask, and I'm not required by HIPAA rules and regulations to disclose
HIPAA
that. So, what does that look like? I have private things I want to get, but maybe I don't want you to see.
For you, but I can't let you in the store without a mask.
Okay, so where's the regulations that state that?
Hang on a second. If you have private things that you want to buy, first of all, I don't know what they would be at a grocery store, perhaps tampons, but I would guess that most women would try to procure them. But wouldn't you want a mask if you have
good point?
If you want privacy,
you want to remain anonymous. Yeah,
yeah. Wouldn't you want the mask?
Well, She, I mean, obviously every time she goes shopping, there's like truly no one that will see her. She's like an invisibility cloak when she usually goes shopping. I mean, there are other people in the store. I mean, I'm not quite sure what she's trying to do here.
Yeah, I can't think of many things in a grocery store I'd be embarrassed to buy.
Can you imagine these people having to deal with this? As I said, if you're in a grocery store, your tensions are already super high because, I mean, you're trying to do everything to keep people clean. Everyone in there is on edge. As you know, Fred, you talked about that when you were in like the fruit aisle. Everyone's on edge. And if you work there and you're amongst like all these people, now you got to deal with this. Oh, by the way, 617-779-0985. If you are one of the people who's had to come face to face with somebody like this, this is astounding. All right, let's let this roll.
Hi, I have a medical condition that I'm not allowed to wear a mask and I'm not required by HIPAA rules.
I want to stop this again. What medical condition are you not allowed to wear a mask? Like what would be the medical condition? Like if you have asthma.
Me thinks she doesn't have one, Fred. Me thinks she might not actually
have
one.
But even if you are, you know, pretending.
If someone calls you on it, say, okay, what medical condition is that exactly?
Like maybe if you had like super bad asthma, like I can't think of a medical condition.
And by the way, this guy's so nice. He goes, all right, would you like us to go in and get the things for you? Like, I mean, they're going above and beyond for this woman. And by the way, she's standing next to a gigantic sign that has all the new rules on it. Like, there's a huge, like standing right next to her, this huge sign.
You can't afford for this to go viral. I mean, she, after all, is taping it. I mean, what is one to do when one is taped from my cell phone? I mean, you're out of your mind. All right.
Hi, I have a medical condition that I'm not allowed to wear a mask, and I'm not required by HIPAA rules and regulations to disclose that.
Okay, can we shop for you?
So, what does that look like? I have private things I want to get, but maybe I don't want you to see.
For you, but I can't let you in the store without a mask.
Okay, so where's the regulations that state that?
The regulations?
Yeah.
That is company.
Because you're discriminating against me now. Do you know that?
I'm
you're discriminating against me.
That we can help you.
No. Because I have private stuff that I don't want you to see.
Then you can call corporate office, but I can't help you.
Okay, well, you guys can get a lawsuit. Because you can't discriminate.
I'm trying to help you, but I'm
no,
not
you can't. How's that helping when you're going to do shopping for me? I'm going to give you my bank information.
I'm doing the best I can.
How do I do the transaction?
Well, you know, if you're going to do a transaction, you have to give your bank information.
I mean, see, she's never done that before either. Apparently, she's a very good shoplifter.
Yeah. If you got to give your bank information, there's no doubt about it.
Which you don't have to do when you normally go to a grocery store.
No,
you never
I mean,
have
they
to
don't,
give them your credit card.
I had to go to CVS yesterday, and they asked for an ID, and I felt very exposed by them knowing my birthday. So, yes, I mean, she in a lawsuit, everyone with their lawsuits, everyone loves a lawsuit. Nothing better than a lawsuit. Everyone that has got themselves a camera phone is all of a sudden, manics. They hold the keys to every investigation. They're Barnaby Jones. They've figured it all out. I mean, these people are just such idiots. I mean, I want personal things. Well, honey, what do you want? Like, what do we have here? I mean, we don't, like, have a collection of dildos. I mean, like, what do you want me to get you that's, like, so crazy?
Right.
Would you like some Summer's Eve? I mean, you know, they're going to look at it at the cash register anyway. Like, you know, we don't have pocket anything, you know, if you understand what I'm saying. I think the most embarrassing thing you could get is Summer's Eve. And I got news for you. Why do you care if the guy checking you out knows that? I got to impress the guy checking me out. I don't want the guy checking me out to have any idea of my personal problems. I need him because you'll see him every day, and he's obviously gonna. I mean, the guy at the grocery store is the first guy that's gonna narc on you. So I mean, you know,
it's what Facebook was made for.
Right. I mean,
Shamer.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, people have different opinions on feminine hygiene.
All right, let's let it roll. Let's let it roll.
How do I do the transaction?
Transactions will do for you.
No, I'm going to give you my credit card, my private credit card. Sure. For you to go and take and pay with
Idiot, you have to give your credit card anyway.
There's no logic here. There's no logic. She just wanted something to complain about and film it so she seemed like the victim.
Oh, Jesus. I mean wouldn't you want
guys.
Someone... Hang on a second. Wouldn't you want someone to shop for you?
Yes! And they're offering to go above and beyond.
Yes, I can stand here and I will give you a list and you can shop for me and then that will be that. I would prefer that. Than shopping myself. As much as a delight it is to go grocery shopping.
I'm getting tweets. This immediately makes me realize I can never work in retail. I instantly would have told her to blank off and shop somewhere else. I mean, that's like, this guy is a saint, like right now. I mean, he's doing everything for her. And as I said, if you work in a... Right. Well, listen, okay, let it roll. Because the other guy who she first talked to is still standing there sanitizing carts the entire time. He's like wiping down these carts for all these people. I mean, once again, not a great job to have right now. I mean, it's a tough gig. I mean, you think about that. You're working your butt off and you're out there and you're trying to clean up things that could be dirty during all this. And listen to how they handle it. I mean, they're amazing.
No, I'm going to give you my credit card, my private credit card, sure. For you to go and take and pay with my...
We're trying to help you.
How's that helping me?
Miss corporate office, I'm sorry.
Okay, I need a card. Do you have a card for them?
I sure can.
That'd be great. This is Shelly Lewis. I'm at Dana Point, Gelson's.
Shelly Lewis, you're such a hero. You're the Aaron Bravo. Just whatever the hell the name of the...
She's the Rosa Parks of Karen's.
Yeah, I mean, she's like, I'm not going to be on the back of the bus.
Right.
I give us your name. I mean, you are truly fighting for the common man. Thank God. To identify yourself. My goodness. What a inspiration this woman is. Oh, stupid idiots. I had to deal with these idiots all the time working in retail. It's thank God it was before camera phones. Because I got fired all the time. Because I would tell people to F off.
Right.
I probably had 20 restaurant or retail jobs. I worked at a car wash. And people at the car wash were dicks. I mean, like...
Why?
Because they would say you didn't... They'd say you left streaks when you dried the car.
Right, right.
And that happened a lot. And you'd be like, really? This Miata is... you're a little upset about the I've ruined the shine on your Camry?
This guy, the first guy that she talked to, you know, when she's filming all this stuff, as the manager walks away... This guy is perfect. He's dancing to the Michael Jackson music while wiping down the carts as if, like, you're not gonna ruin my day.
Yeah,
so let's let it roll because she kind of interacts with him as well here.
This is Shelly Lewis. I'm at Dana Point Gelson's. So if anybody wants to shop here, you have to have a mask. And here is the policies. Which state that they will shop for me, take my money, my private credit card, and utilize that. I'm going to just let them go do that. So, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do that.
But
you're pretty chipper. Huh? You're happy?
Why not?
Why are you happy?
Yeah. Normally I'm a bartender and I wouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
Not the job.
Well, good. I mean, I'm glad you guys think it's okay to, like, infringe on people's rights here.
This poor guy! Stop it! Did you hear what he said? He goes, why are you happy? He goes, because I'm a bartender, and I normally wouldn't have a job, and I have a job here. Do you have not one sympathetic bone in your body? How do you not sense what you're doing at that moment?
How do you have no awareness of what's
going on around you? It's like Brian Reed, I got blinders on. Are you out of your mind?
Well,
this guy literally just said the most sympathetic thing.
It's a private credit card as opposed to the public credit cards that are out there. I mean, obviously, if you give the guy from whatever the hell grocery store this is your credit card, he's going to go on a mad shopping spree.
I want to shop there now. Like, I want to just, like, I want to, these guys are awesome the way they're handling this. Because you're right. Even me, I'm pretty laid back. I would have lost my mind at that point.
You should wipe your butt and rub it on her face.
I might have to do that. All right, let's.
But you're pretty chipper. You're pretty chipper. Huh? You're happy?
Why not?
Why are you happy?
Normally, I'm a bartender, and I wouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
Not the guest.
Well, good. I mean, I'm glad you guys think it's okay to, like, infringe on people's rights here. You're infringing on people's rights.
Well, realistically, my dear, there is no way my card got clean.
Sorry?
I'm sorry I can't help you. But that's the number for our corporate office.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is Ben.
Ben? Okay, Ben.
Well, Ben, you're as good as far. And by the way, is there anyone more important than the guy who's washing the carts?
Like, what are you doing?
Like, he should be the guy that all your anger is forced on.
And you know what? This, Fred, is not an anomaly. This is happening all over. Dude, yeah. Think about it. The one time, like, I mean, I like, once every 2 weeks go to the grocery store. Like, I try to load up for 2 weeks so I don't have to go back during all this. So just think about that. In the one time that I go, I see it. Like, I mean, it's – so I'm batting 1,000 when it comes to seeing Karens over the last couple of weeks. Well, so think about the people who work there and the people like our listeners who, you know, many of them have called in, like the poor ice cream shop guy at the Polar Cave who had to shut down his place because, you know, people demanded that this is ice cream.
I'm not a trauma center. It's ice cream.
People just got to calm down during all this.
Well, and you should see the people around here that masks on that don't cover their nose or mouth.
I've seen those. I know. Well, there's that video of the one woman who cut a hole in her mouth.
If you're in Loudoun, Tennessee, you're really not overly concerned with any of this. It's kind of going out the window. All right,
all right, 617-779. Yeah, if you've dealt
someone's,
with any of this.
Is comparing me to a Karen, which I can't wait to get insulted more. We will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.